Hi, this is Casey of Casey and the Sunshine Man. Put on your boogie shoes and bring on the sunshine sound with Suzanne Hunter on our World of Entertainment, and that's the way I like it.
It's a real pleasure to be speaking with Harry Wayne Casey, better known as Casey from Casey and the Sunshine Band. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Suzanne.
Now, I personally love dancing, and any opportunity to get my boogie shoes on is fine with me. So it's great news to hear that, you know, after some years, 18, I believe, you're going to be dancing your way over to the UK to be part of our British Summertime Festival and at COCO in Camden. So what is it that you felt particularly about this year that it was the right time to come over?
I'm not, you know, it just kind of all happened. It just all came together. It's kind of interesting. The last few years have been kind of this rebirth. Even though I've been touring a lot, you know, more in the United States, but it's kind of just been this kind of rebirth of me personally and career-wise and stuff. And so it was just the right time to, you know, spread my wings a little bit and come back to some places. And I got invited to do this show, and it's just a great reintroduction of me and the band, you know, back to the UK where it kind of all started for us.
Absolutely, yes. I mean, you know, you've been shaking your booty, as it's been said, since 1973. And I mean, whenever I hear your music, it's so infectious. You just have to get up and dance. It feels really sunny. Now, of course, I'm speaking to you from the Sunshine State in Florida, where I believe you were born and bred and you've lived all your life. Aside from influencing the name of the band, obviously, how would you say living in Florida has influenced your music style over the years?
You know, I mean, the music was influenced by the Caribbean sound, jumping music, although, you know, mixed with R&B music and pop. So I would just say more than maybe, you know, I mean, sure, South Florida played an important role because a lot of times we would hear music that other, you know, places didn't kind of attach themselves to. So we would get a different kind of music sometimes than the rest of the country was getting. Although mainly it was the same. And I guess from my roots, basically, and, you know, and the type of music that I grew up listening to or was exposed to was probably more of a influence, that, you know, on the sound than anything.
Yes, because, I mean, the 1970s was a time of great energy and synonymous with dancing. Of course, many people associate New York with that sort of disco scene due to Saturday Night Fever. But you definitely put Florida on the map in terms of your original sunshine sound. Were you one to hang out on the disco dance floor scene, and how did you get that disco vibe?
I just wanted to, you know, when I started creating the idea of Casey and the Sunshine Band, I felt music had gotten really dark, and I just wanted to bring, you know, a high energy sound into music. I wanted to make a record that was all up tempo that you could play, you know, on at a party, side A and side B, and just party the night away. So, you know, it was a deliberate thing that I did for the albums and of course, the subsequent albums after the followed and singles. So, I mean, it was a deliberate thing that I did. I wanted really to put everybody on the dance floor, everybody to have a good time. So that was really the key behind it all.
Your music, you know, sort of amalgamated disco and funk, you know, two of my favorite genres. I also believe you had a little bit of Latin and other influences.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm Italian-Irish, so I have a little Italian in me, so I think there's some Latin in there, you know.
Wonderful, wonderful combination. But I believe, you know, you've always loved music from a young age. Tell us what first got you fired up and when you first decided to create a band.
Well, it was when I first did my very first single that I created the name. There was really not a band. It was a name. It was called Casey and the Sunshine Junkadoo Band. There was no band. It was just studio musicians that actually played on the records. And then eventually I took the studio musicians out as Casey and the Sunshine Band. Everybody except for the horns. The horns that toured never played on the records. So it was basically, you know, starting out, it was a studio musician type of organization. And when I started having success as Casey and the Sunshine Band, I needed a band. So I went to the guys who were playing on the records and asked them if they'd go out and be part of the band.
Yeah, because, of course, you know, that was the original name. And tell us how you first started collaborating with Richard Finch.
That probably happened somewhere after the first album, into the middle of the first album, I believe.
And you had another influencer in Henry Stone, who recorded with the likes of Ray Charles and James Brown. I believe he was almost like a dad for you. How did that connection come about?
Well, Henry owned the company, and we became, you know, I was hanging out there a lot, and he saw my talent and realized the talent that I had or whatever, and you know, just opened the doors for me to achieve my dreams. And he was like a dad to me. I mean, he was just, we just had this special connection.
I mean, you know, you've really been seen as a sort of trendsetter, you know, dance styles, hairstyles, clothing. And of course, talking of dance, you were given the name as the founder of the dance revolution. Where did that come from? Who coined that phrase for you?
I'm not sure exactly who coined that phrase, but we did change the music. We changed the sound of music like the Beatles did, and kind of like Elvis Presley did. We were really responsible for changing, you know, the sound. I mean, and the sound is something that's continued. It's 2017, and the sound is still there, bigger than ever, actually. So it's kind of interesting that we've been able to, we're so responsible for a sound that was created almost 40 years ago has still lasted and still changing music.
Absolutely, yes. Because, I mean, the 70s, as well as all the spandex and the disco, you know, it was quite, you know, a time of political unrest and inflation,
right,
and all sorts of, you know, issues that were going on at the time. How important did you think your music was? Did you always just want to make people happy and make them forget, you know?
Well, I mean, that was the whole idea. I mean, the idea was to make this music that was high energy and happy sounding. And, you know, that was a deliberate thing that I wanted to do, yes.
Right, it kind of lifts people's spirits, isn't it? You kind of like, you know, to have a diversion to the disco, really, isn't it? I mean, people
Correct.
Need a lot of sunshine in their lives, and, I mean, you've provided that. Now, you talked about the Beatles a while back, you know, real game changers. But, of course, Casey and the Sunshine Band, you know, you were the first act to score 4 number one singles in 12 months since the Beatles in 1964. You've had a lot of great successes. What do you think it was that sort of caught the imagination of the public with your band?
I think the fact that I was, you know, I mean, I was writing these songs that were about love and about being with someone, and they were just happy, high, you know, high energy type of songs. I just think that my ingredients for what I wanted in my records or my musical paintings was that of happiness and energy and fun. And, you know, I think that's what everyone was really drawn to. I think everyone was ready to be happy and ready to, you know, have fun with life.
Definitely. I mean, like you said earlier on, we were just chatting about not all musicians create sort of uplifting music. Some can be quite depressing, sort of lyrically, and the vibe is quite low. But you're so
right.
Upbeat. I mean, tell us what defines the music you create. What's your philosophy to life?
Love in its simplest form defines my music, you know. To be honest with you, I think being in love or falling in love or wanting to be in love by someone or loving someone, I think that's what a lot of my songs are about. There's some of them that are just for fun, but most of all, I think they were kind of just songs of love, you know, that love with joy and happiness in them, most of them. I mean, sometimes they were talking about breakups or not wanting to break up or how much you love someone or whatever. And, you know, Shake Your Booty might have been a little bit different because Shake Your Booty was a little bit more underlying meaning, I think, to Shake Your Booty than everyone realized. And it was kind of a song that just said, you know, try to, like, have everybody believe that they're as good as the next person and they could just get out, just go out there and shake your booty. Don't worry about what the next person thinks or what somebody's thinking about you. Don't fight the feeling. You know, you can do it. You're the best in the world. Don't fight the feeling. Give yourself a chance. So I think too many times people fight certain feelings and don't give themselves enough chances in life to really enjoy it or really do certain things that they've always loved or they want to do. And I think you need to always take that chance and do them and shake your booty. You know what I mean?
Definitely.
Kind of what that was about. So
yeah, I definitely agree. You've got to dance like nobody's watching and just don't worry about it. Just get out there and have fun, you know?
Exactly.
I mean, it's no wonder that, you know, your fabulous hit Boogie Shoes featured on the soundtrack as well as in the stage musical of Saturday Night Fever. And you were very rightly awarded for that work, you know, Grammy Award for Album of the Year, as well as Producer of the Year. And, I mean, tell us how that project came about.
Well, they called us. They wanted to put Shake Your Booty in the movie, and I suggested that they put Boogie Shoes because we were getting ready to release Shake Your Booty as a single. And so I didn't want to delay the release of that track. So I suggested they do Boogie Shoes, which I put Boogie Shoes as the B-side of Shake Your Booty. And so I thought that would be better. Since the movie was going to come out for quite a few months after they, you know, asked permission. I don't think anybody realized it was going to be this huge, you know, it was just another one of those requests, really, to have your song in a movie. I don't think anyone realized it was going to be as big as it was, not only musically, but, you know, as a film.
Your music's been used in over 200 motion pictures, and you can see why. I mean, it's always been in films that are very feel-good and, you know, really adds to that energy.
We also are the music of a generation, a period in time.
Absolutely, yeah, definitely. I mean, you've also written songs as well for others, including George McRae, Rock Your Baby,
yes.
And you part wrote I Ain't Lying. Tell us about the creative process for you. Is it melody or lyrics first, generally?
It all depends. I mean, a lot of times I'll have an idea of a song in my head, for the most part. And so I'll either get a title going or whatever I'm feeling, and then try to make it right around that title, whatever. Sometimes I have working titles. Sometimes I would start with chords. Most of the time it was, you know, I would sit down at the piano and just start playing these chords and stuff, and then put the tunes to it. I write a lot of different ways, but for the most part, I would find, you know, create the chords and stuff, and then start writing the songs around that.
Do you enjoy collaborating sort of with others when you're writing songs?
You know, I haven't collaborated with a lot of people, but, you know, I did go and work on something with Big and Rich recently, and so, you know, I'm kind of working on that. I never did do too much collaboration. It's something I've been looking at doing.
Yeah, absolutely. No, it's never too late. I mean, of course, for me, one of my first 7-inch singles, showing my vintage there, that I bought was Give It Up. I just love that song. And
that was a great record. That was fabulous. A great record.
Yeah, I love it. I mean, it's fantastic to create a number one in itself, but creating a number one after what you went through that year, tell our listeners what happened in 1982.
Well, I mean, besides having the car accident and stuff, I was already working on the album, and I think I'd already written the song for Give It Up. I don't know if I'd recorded it, but I remember being in the hospital and, you know, playing it. I had written that one, and you said you'd give me some more. And I remember being in the hospital and listening to those. They might have been the rough versions. I don't think they were the recorded versions, because I don't think I recorded it till I got out of the hospital. They were created sort of right before that, or right around that time.
Of course, yeah, for all the listeners who don't know, you had a car accident, and you almost had to relearn how to walk, talk, dance, and play the piano. But, of course, you know, out of that came, the classic Give It Up. So,
yes.
You know, it's quite amazing, really. So, yeah, out of adversity, you know, you came up with that gem. So it's inspiration, isn't it, to everyone to just keep going. Just, you know.
You have to keep going.
Yeah.
You have to just keep going.
Mm. Music's such a healer as well, isn't it? You know, it's a creative process, so it just sort of gives you something to gun for, doesn't it, as well?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Now, it's wonderful, of course, that you didn't give it up, and you proved such a star that you were rightly given a coveted star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. And of course, you also received a NARAS Governor's Award, and that's the highest honour given to a chapter of the Academy. Was that a great honour for you?
Yeah, they all are. I mean, you know, just those things, you know, you don't expect them, and they come off the wall sometimes, and it's really an honor to be appreciated by your peers and stuff. So, and the Governor's Award is a special award to get from NARAS, absolutely.
Now, I mean, your music's very uplifting. It's not a surprise that you've been covered at every major sporting event, Super Bowl, World Series, and you're going to be at another event. I'm really pleased that you're going to be in the UK, getting us Londoners up dancing at Coco in Camden on the 2nd of July, and also the 30th of June at British Summertime Series of Concerts. What can audience expect? Just some of those great hits, and have you got anything new that you're going to be throwing in?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I'm so honored to be invited to this event. I watched it from afar and wanted to be a part of it for so many years, so I'm really happy that I was finally invited and that I get to come back in such a big way to the UK that I haven't, you know, where it all started for me, and it's been 18 years since I've been there, and I just can't wait to get up there and, you know, kind of like homecoming for me in a way, and to share my music once again with the people of the United Kingdom and whoever else shows up. And it's just going to be a fun night. It's going to be an exciting night for me, and that, you know, and the appearance at the Coco Theater. So I'm really looking forward to it, and I can't wait to arrive and, you know, experience the wonderful people and wonderful country of the United Kingdom.
Well, we'll look forward to welcoming you. I mean, UK and British summers aren't always guaranteed to be sunny, but I think at the Summertime Festival, you're going to be bringing that sunshine on the stage. Well, I definitely think you will. It just reminds me to say thank you so much for being a special guest on Suzanne's World of Entertainment.
Thank you very much. I appreciate you having me on.
Oh, most pleasure. So I'm sure the gigs will be super, and I wish you lots of success, Casey.
Thank you.
And that was my very special guest, Casey, from Casey and the Sunshine Band.
Brooklyn's Radio. Loving arts and entertainment.
If you've enjoyed this podcast, why not keep up to date with the Sound of Surrey by listening live at brooklandsradio.co.uk or through our free mobile app.